Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
I'm here today doing a podcast with Glenbrook legend Tim Myers, who's just recently turned 90. We're up here on his porch. When was the house built?
1911.
So the house was built in 1911, and they've been...
It was
built as a weekender in 1911, as Tim says. And I'm just going to give a bit of a word picture of where we're at. So I'm sitting out on this beautiful porch out here in the sun with a dog called... What's the dog's name called again?
Teddy.
Teddy, you'll be able to hear him. I've got a directional microphone, so Tim's talking out in the background. We're up here in Glenbrook in the Blue Mountains. So about if you look at the east coast of Australia, that's on the right hand side, halfway down, there's Sydney, and about 70 kilometres in, you suddenly have the Blue Mountains rise up for about another 70 kilometres. Wilderness here, and as the Blue Mountains just suddenly rise out of a plain, we're the first little city, a little village on the way up. There's actually a bit of a secret gorge. You travel up by train and you come up, the train stops and you get out, and there's this little secret village of Glenbrook. And Glenbrook used to be is much bigger now, but it used to be quite sleepy and small and a little country community. And part of the country community is that they had a group called the Glenbrook Merrymakers, just of locals who would get around and do probably equivalent, it sounds like a high school skit. And I'll just ask Tim here, who were some of the people who started off the Glenbrook Merrymakers? Is that okay, Tim?
The Merrymakers were actually started during the war years with the aim at providing funds for the Comforts Fund, Servicemen's Comforts Fund. There was a second reason was that the government at the time was pushing people to do things, you know, to have things that, community things that everybody could enjoy, that make them forget the war. I think that was the whole idea of it, and that they were the two reasons for the Merrymakers in the first place.
So that's a very good a good story for people. So for people overseas, the sort of what we refer to the World War One and World War Two in Australia, obviously. World War Two, European wars, but there's also a big Japanese war, and every last person in Australia was involved in the war effort, and was really concerned about the Japanese coming. And Tim's just said that the Merrymakers was basically a government-inspired initiative to raise morale. Is that right, Tim?
Yes, that's correct, leader. Yes. The idea of tomorrow... raise the people's morale and make them feel a bit, forget the war a little bit.
And so it must have begun in 1940, 42, 41, around that time. And who were some of the main characters that formed the Merrymakers?
Well, Gwen Rowe was the main, she started it. It was her idea and she pushed it right through to the end. And actually I was looking for a letter there that she wrote to me, a few years ago, about how much she appreciated what I'd done to help her.
Tell us a little. Her name was Glen Rowe.
Gwen Rowe.
And I'm just going to ask Tim to describe her a little bit, what she did in Glenbrook and how she came, and she stayed with it right through the entire lifetime of the Glenbrook Merrymakers. Over to you, Tim.
Well, Gwen came here in 1933 and with her father and started the Glenbrook Mushrooms. And then during the war, of course, she joined up as the Land Army and joined went off doing all around Australia doing land army work, and when she'd done her term, she's retired and came back to Glenbrook. But she's a very active person when it came to getting something done. If she wanted something done, she'd do it and get it done, rain, hail, or doing whatever the old saying goes. She'd do it, she'd keep going. She never gave up.
Okay, so I'll just add something for people overseas. Tim talked about the Glenbrook Mushroom Tunnel, and there's a little bit of a story here. We won't give too much of it here, but there's was a train and a tunnel. So we were up a mountain, and this tunnel went an angle up through the mountain. It wasn't all that good, so they built a better way of getting to Glenbrook, and the tunnel was open for people to use. And Tim has told me earlier that a professor had a go, and then this group, obviously the Rowe and Gwen Rowe, were involved in looking after the tunnel. And she was it was an abandoned single track railway tunnel sneaking in the backwaters of Glenbrook. You can still see it today. So we're going back to Glen Rowe, and she was with the Land Army, which is a group of people who used to go around doing civil work around Australia. So is that in farms and things like that?
Farms in Bathurst and Leeton and all around Australia.
So this is because all the men were off to war. Well, the men and women are off to war. There's a big labour shortage, and so people would turn up to actually work on the various farms. Is that right?
Well, the most of the girls in Glenbrook joined the RAF. As a RAF, and she decided to join the Land Army because of her experience in the mushroom farm. She was interested in agriculture, so she joined up into the Land Army group very successfully, I believe.
And she came back to Glenbrook and started the Merrymakers, is that right?
Oh, well, she came back to Glenbrook, and that was just one of the things that needed doing. They needed someone to start the Merrymakers fund off, so she got into it, and away she went. That's the story there.
And where was the first... so these were entertainments, were they during the day or in the evening?
Oh, they'll run at night up in the School of Arts that's there now. The theatre, it's now the cinema, but it was the Glenbrook School of Arts.
So if you go up the highway, up the mountains, there's really only one road up the mountains, so you go up this very steep hill and come into Glenbrook. They've now got these very big signs, sandstone walls saying Glenbrook either side, but tucked in the back is an old building. It's now got the cinema in it. At the front it's got Glenbrook School of Arts, and it's a theatre. And so every once in a while, much to the upset of the cinema owner, who's been there for years, they get turfed out and they have a theatrical production. But originally there exclusively not for the cinema but for theatrical productions.
Rebuilt in 1927 after the first one burnt down.
Well, there you go. So there was a first one. When was the first one there?
The first one was in the Glenbrook Park, up in the corner of the Glenbrook Park, but it burnt down mysteriously, and the community just got together to raise funds for it, start up to put it down where it is now.
And there's been lots of mysterious burning downs. Do you think it was an insurance one or just a mystery?
Oh, it was not an insurance one. They think a swagman got in there and lit a fire and burnt it accidentally. They don't really know. Nothing came out of it. They couldn't really work out what happened.
And so this is establishment, and how often did people go to the little cinema, the little School of Arts?
Oh, very regularly. The They had a library and a little library of their own, and they had quite regular dances and things in there that over every weekend there was something on, I think.
I remember when I first came to Glenbrook in 1994, they were still having the Glenbrook Bush Dance at the local primary school on every Glenbrook Fair Day, but now it's sort of rather slowed down a little bit. And so how often did they have the Merrymaker skits?
Oh, well, I don't think they're that often. They might have been every 3 months. I'm not sure now, but there is a bit of paperwork. I have paperwork on it, but I think it's all up in the museum now. I think they took it all up the museum.
So. And so this is, it would have a program. How many people would be in the program?
Oh, there were audience. The audience was big, but there was about 20 or 30 people in the 20 or 30 people or more in the audience in the on the cast.
And they do musical acts or little skits?
Acts and also theoretical acts, as you could call them, and all sorts of, you know, they have plays, and we do have photos of them up in the museum.
So we'll have to get the photographs together. But Tim, you played a role as the man behind the scenes, the roadie, is that correct?
Well, I needed a. I wasn't a very good actor, so I stood in as a on the stage, moving the furniture and putting the scenery up and working the curtains, etc., which was a very important job. It was very timeless. You had to keep to a time schedule, and I apparently did a very good job there at the time. So that was that.
And did the Merrymakers continue much after World War II?
No. I think the flavour went off at, you know, the concerts after the war. They did work for a while, but when Gwen moved away, I think, and that was that. The bottom fell out of it, actually.
So there was just a World War II Glenbrook Merrymakers. There are there still people alive who are in the Glenbrook Merrymakers? Are there still people alive who are in the Glenbrook Merrymakers?
Oh, yes, there's still people in the Historical Society who are in the Merrymakers.
And who are the people who in the Historical Society who are in the Merrymakers?
Well, Joan Peard's one of them. Pam Thompson. Most of them have passed away, moved away, but they're still around. As I say, I had a file here of it all, but it all went up the museum somewhere. I don't know, they put it on the record, but I don't know where it is now.
Well, I'm going through scanning everything and filing everything, so I haven't seen anything so far, so it must still be filed away there. What eventually the School of Arts transformed a short while as a community hall, but then transformed largely to cinema use. Can you tell us a little bit about how the Glenbrook Cinema got in there?
Oh, well, they've used it for many years, as long as I can remember. It was a theatre, they had a screen up top and a screening room up top, and they've been running theatre, running that for years there. But when the new proprietor took over, he wanted to modernise it, and he put new equipment in. He's changed it all digital now. So like everybody else, he's modernised his equipment, and it seems different now. It turned it into the council let him turn it into a theatre.
All right, well, that's the Glenbrook Merrymakers, and we've talked for about 14 minutes on it. I think everyone's got a picture of it, and I've definitely understand it as part of World War II history and people's involvement in the Land Army. It was Joan Peard and Pam Thompson, were they in the RAAF? Were those two merrymaker women in the RAAF?
No. They're just local residents. They're girls that lived here.
All right. Okay, well, that's given a general story of the merrymakers, and we'll see how Dennis, our illustrious president, thinks what he thinks of this podcast and whether he gives a thumbs up. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.